Well, hello. Welcome to the Take Note podcast. This is your host, Ananda Murari, and Kaylee Kanana.
Co-host.
And we've created an Udava sandwich. We have our friend Skate Monk here with us, and we've sandwiched him in.
How he said he likes sandwiches.
He does like sandwiches.
I do like sandwiches. Okay. Okay, that's Kaylee. That's Ananda. Yeah.
There it is. So we're here today getting, you know, really taking note of all of the great and wonderful things that we have. This is being brought to you by Bodica, which is a beautiful platform connecting creatives and deep thinkers and people of all sorts about the experience of this beautiful culture that is bhakti. And so there's so much philosophy out there. And I think what we're really interested in general, and when I say we, I think as a society and as a world, as a human race, we're interested in experiencing something deeper, and that's our aim here. Take Note is we look creatively at our experience as yogis, meditators, artists, and how we can connect that to the highest purpose. So we got Hari Vilas, good friend of ours. He's saying Gora, and he just made a big step in his life. Congratulations, Hari Vilas. He took formal vows of initiation. He's a monk that lives in a out on a farm in West Virginia.
He's officially a mutant ninja turtle.
He's now a mutant ninja turtle.
Officially.
It was practice before, but now it's official. Kaylee, do you have anything you want to say?
Yes. Always. I'm just looking at us three. It's kind of like the evolution of bhakti hairstyles or something. It's really cool. No, I'm just really happy to be here as always. This is the third installment of Take Note. And I've not met you before, Udava, have I? So this is exciting. It's kind of like meeting someone, but other people are watching you meet someone.
makes the best kind of television.
It's good.
It
yeah.
does, yeah.
Well, but, I'll give a little introduction of Udava real quick.
Please do.
So Udava, aka the Skate Monk, is a good friend. I've known him for many years. We used to live in Denver together, actually. And I always felt so inspired by the solidness of your character. And
like solid, dude.
Solid, yeah. Harbo. And so when we were thinking of just people that have really taken things that they love to do, right? And have totally, to use a lingo, dovetailed, which is really, you know, to connect flawlessly and seamlessly, to just connect something that we love with a higher purpose. And I thought of you immediately. And so I'm very excited to. And since I know Kelly and I know Udava, I wanted to connect two of these wonderful people that I know. Mm. So
I came up with the name.
He did come up with the name.
Just so you all know.
I like it.
And right now, Udava is based in Florida, where he is doing a lot of different freelance stuff. But one of his main projects is a Skate Monk. So we'll get into that. And do you have anything to say, your opening statement?
This will be held against you in evidence.
Yeah, just super happy to be here. I feel honored to be a part of this amazing movement with Bodhika and all these amazing things that you guys are doing. And when you reached out, I felt quite touched because the Skate Monk thing to me just seems like I'm just doing it for fun and kind of why not? You know, I've been skating for so long that I figured if I just stopped, it would kind of be a waste. And I love skating and I love bhakti. So I figured why not try to co-create them into one thing. And I've been getting a lot of encouragement and support. So I'm just super happy to be here and explore skating and not hating.
Cool. That's what we're here for. I want us to start off too. There's a song that in cahoots with the names of Skate Don't Hate, right? So there's a song that our friend Kaylee here has written called Ain't No Limit to Love. So there's many, this song has been a favorite. Actually, to tell you the truth, Kaylee, this was a song that I heard you sing that I knew that this is a person that I want to marry. I want to have an intimate connection with. And fortunately, after I watched that song, or after I heard that song, you know, we should tell our story one day, Kaylee, how we met.
Mm.
It was quite, it's quite nice.
And the bit about how we've never actually met as well. That's,
yeah, that bit too, how we've met and never met simultaneously. Mm. But this is a song that I've always loved, and I asked him to sing it today. So, Kaylee, do you have anything you want to share about that? And
yes, I like writing songs just like Odova likes skating, and it's the only thing I can wake up and do every day and not get bored of. Do you get bored of skating?
Not really. Usually, I just am too hurt to keep going. That's the only limitation.
Yeah, sometimes composing music really hurts as well.
Yeah, a different type of hurt, but.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, this was a song I wrote quite a few years ago, and originally when I composed it, it had close to 30 verses, and I wanted to share it online when I started sharing stuff online early last year, and I thought I can't do every verse, so I just tried to choose the good ones. Which was still like 15 verses or something. So now I'm going to try and sing it again. I haven't sung it for many, many months until this morning. But I like the message of the song. And, you know, you don't need 30 verses to try this idea that's quite simple. But it is profound how when you look around at life, there are limitations, there are boundaries, there are walls that you meet and you can bash a head against. And, you know, there are different kind of restrictions and obstacles that we reach in life. But love is like unlimited in the regard of exploring it, experiencing it, communicating it, sharing it. So I guess that's the message of the song. And I'm happy that someone else likes it. So I thought in order to honor that, I would accept the request of singing it this evening.
Mm. Well, and you had told me once, and you wrote, I think, on a description, it was a song that you wrote when you were 18. You wrote this poem when you were 18?
Yeah, 18, 19. I was in the ashram living as a monk. And I didn't really, I'd been in the ashram living as a monk for about a year or two. And I was just beginning to understand like what love is. Mm. It might be a controversial statement, but I believe if you don't have a genuine spiritual practice in your life, you don't know what love is. Mm. That was what I discovered. Because, they say that real love can be experienced when something dramatic happens in your life, like having a child. Having a child is that time, I've heard, when you, you're forced not to think of yourself anymore. Mm. That's love, you know, when you're not thinking of yourself at all. Your every activity is about giving. Mm. And I started to come into contact with those teachings when I was living as a monk. And I thought, I don't understand this yet, but I want to articulate it somehow. And I guess through my very measly career at aspiring to be a spiritualist, I've started to get more and more and more and more realizations on what real love really is. Mm. So when I wrote the song, I didn't really understand, and I still don't really understand, but I hope to understand before I leave my body and my colorful wardrobe. And yeah, so I guess that's the song, and it can perhaps be articulated more if I just sing it.
Go for it.
Is that okay?
Please.
Awesome. I won't do all the verses. I'll just do a few. And I'm gonna have to read the lyric, I'm afraid, because it's that kind of age we're living in.
The memory's short. We live short lives.
The memory is small, but the heart is big.
The memory is small, heart is big.
Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you wonderfully.
Okay, awesome. So this is a song called Limit to Love. Only so much can one consume, only so full can be the moon, only so far can a microscope zoom, but there ain't no limit to love. Only so long can you stay awake, only so risen can be a cake. Only so many lessons learned after your mistakes, but there ain't no limit to love. Only so lucky can a gambler be, only so high can grow a tree, and only so sweet is the honeybee, but there ain't no limit to love. Only so loud can be a snare, only so sly can be a stare, only so curly can be your hair, Nanda, but there ain't no living alone. Only so many times can a story be told, and only so many grains can one beach hold, and only so much plunder can a cave take for gold, but there ain't no limit to love. Only so well can one king rule, only so much can you learn in school, and only so foolish can be the fool, that's me, but there ain't no limit to love. No, there ain't no limit to love. No, there ain't no limit to love.
On that sweet note, Udava, Skate Monk, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about your story.
All right. Well, I'm the Skate Monk.
The Skate Monk. I think it's the only one.
Because Skate Monk was taken on Instagram, so I had to be the Skate Monk.
Oh, Skate Monk was taken.
So I'm the Skate Monk.
You're the Skate Monk, okay.
Yeah. But
let's find that guy.
Yeah, so like Ananda said, I was in the ashram or monastery in Denver. That's where I was introduced to bhakti. I don't know how far you want me to go back in terms of my whole life.
You were in the womb. What happened then?
Conception.
I was conceived.
Where were you in your last life?
Still working on that one. Anyway, yeah, I was born in California and raised in North Carolina and went to school in Denver. And that's where I met the devotees and was introduced to bhakti and went to school for a few years. And then I just kind of had to leave all of a sudden, and then I was like, well, might as well become a monk now. What else am I going to do?
How long ago was that?
That was I was in school 2015, 2016, so about 4 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I was like, might as well just become a monk, you know, I'm not in school anymore. I traveled around a little bit, and then I just kind of fell in love with the community in Denver and the temple, and the whole monk lifestyle just seemed so fun, so simple, and you get to wake up early and, you know, wacky hairstyles, face paint, you know, dancing around.
It's like the best kind of music festival.
Eat with your hands. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a great time. I was there in the ashram for about a year and a half total. And I didn't really skate much at all when I was in the ashram. I started skating when I was in fifth grade, I believe. So it must have been maybe 10 or 11 years old. And I remember I don't know how I got inspired to do it. I must have just seen someone skating and I was like, that looks really cool and fun. So I went to Target and my mom bought me a skateboard, and I just started skating just obsessively. And I would have all kind of tantrums when I couldn't land a trick. And my mom was actually very encouraging to help me keep practicing. So I've been like making all kind of funny home videos and stuff since day one of skating. And it was pretty much my life. My brother too, my older brother, who's also a monk currently, we both skated together, and that was our whole life. You know, we were just skate, skate, skate. There's a term, skate or die. So we were kind of like in that mood. Now I'm like, I'll skate, but I don't really want to die yet. So, but when I was a monk, I didn't really skate much because it just didn't really seem right. And I was so busy and really focused on my spiritual development and study and all that. I would skate every once in a while and, you know, around just for convenience. But I never really felt like I was going to give it up. I always saw myself as like an old man that would be skating down the street, like the rad grandpa kind of mm-hmm. style. But yeah, pretty much once I kind of transitioned out of monk life, you know, just trying to figure out my material life, and skating kind of just came back, like that desire crept back in, and I started doing it. And I had no intention of really making a whole skate monk thing out of it. But I specifically remember one day in Denver, I was skating, and there was a construction worker sitting just in the alley where I was skating. And he was, you know, he was like kind of just watching, like, yeah, you're killing it, man. And then as I was leaving, I was like, oh, I think I have a book in my bag. So I went over and gave him a meditation book. And he was so grateful. And I was like, wow, that was really easy. I should start doing this all the time. So yeah, now I just always have my bag with me, and I just always have it loaded with books, have books in my car. And specifically, anytime I go to a skate park, I try to at least distribute one book, because there's always someone there that I naturally connect with. And I'm kind of just launching into the whole skate monk thing. But
no, it's great.
Just kind of letting it flow. So you just not believe how many spiritual people you meet at the skate park. I had no idea that the two worlds of skating and bhakti and spirituality are actually, there's a lot of overlap. So I'm trying to connect the people within those two categories, because I see so many people all the time at the skate park. I'll meet someone and they say they meditate every day, or, you know, it's amazing to see how spirituality and skating, although in some senses the cultures are a lot different, and that is the hard part, is that a lot of skating has to do with, you know, drugs and intoxication and drinking, and there's a lot of ego involved and judgment, and also physical ailments and, you know, getting hurt. So I kind of just jumped right on into it, and that was an overview. So let's just kind of, if you have any more questions, or
can I say a couple of things. There's two things I really want to get out of the conversation today.
Yeah.
And first off, watching you skate is an incredible experience, and you are incredible at skating. So you definitely own the name Skate Monk. Like, one thing I'm really interested in is this idea that bhakti yogis should saturate every aspect of society. I'm talking about you know, computer science, mathematics, the arts, administration, economics, skating, renunciation, death metal, whatever it is. You know, I think Bhakti Yogi should saturate every aspect of society and compete with those that aren't Bhakti Yogis or even excel, you know. Like there's so many doctors that are Bhakti Yogis doing incredible things. And I see, like, I guess I see a...
Skiing. Our friend, I'm sorry, keep going.
Did you say skiing?
Skiing.
Skiing, why not, you know? Like, actually, if you want to present Bhakti to all of society, I have this theory that if we have... like Bhakti soldiers placed in every environment. Like if you are excelling at your field, you will naturally be disarming when you try and speak to someone, you know. If you were just like some random guy rocking up to the skate park like, hey, want to check out this book, man? They're gonna be like, who's this guy? But you're a skater and they're a skater, so anyway, I think this concept is genius, and I think it applies to everyone in whatever field you're in, like, and actually it could be a motivation to, you know, try even harder at your, you know, material or external life in order to, you know, provide an avenue to communicate Bhakti with those people that are your peers or in your environment. So like, that's one thing I find really interesting, and you've already spoken a bit about that, but I'd love to hear more stories about you connecting with like people in that way, and how it might not be possible if you perhaps just like got a normal job and became a normal person, and you know. So I find that really interesting. And the second thing is, well, I used to skate a little bit. I fell and broke my skate bone, which is this bone, and that was enough for me, but it was fun whilst I was giving it a go. I just like to feel part of the group. I realized there are so many similarities in skating and spirituality. If you strip away the skateboard and the clothes or whatever, like the determination it takes to fall down time after time after time after time after time and get back up. Like, I don't, you know, that's a really valuable thing to bring to spiritual life, that mentality.
I was gonna go into that also. I was gonna ask, because I noticed, Uddhava, when you said that, when you said how many similarities there are between the world of like spirituality and like higher consciousness and the world of skating, right? And I was like, what is that? What are some of those things? And this is a good point, Kelly. So I would also like to explore that, like, what are the characteristics and the qualities needed in an individual to skate and to learn skating and to be proficient at skating? And how do those translate and cross over into our spiritual practice and in your experience?
All right. So I got two over here, one over here. I'm going to try to merge all of them into one answer.
Well, we can, one, I mean, let's spread it out. It's like, that's like the jam on the table. We got, we're making a sandwich here. That's
I would really appreciate if, well, maybe could you start with some more, if you have any more stories about like your, I don't know, your pastimes and your experiences skating and sharing Bhakti through that kind of, you know, field.
Totally. Yeah. So when I first started this, I had a little bit of hesitancy because I thought it would be too hard, basically. Because, you know, when you're practicing a very specific path, you know, for me, I've initiated, I've taken vows to abstain from certain things. And so because a lot of skate culture is very involved with drugs and so many things, it actually takes a bit of resolve. Or a lot of resolve to skate, you know, kind of be of skating, but not identify with it. You know, I'm like in the skating world, but I'm not of it. I'm trying to, because a lot of skating is like, you know, you go to the skate park with your bros and you like smoke and drink and just kind of like hang out and So I try to do that. I try to do the part of just like being a normal, cool person. But then I also, just by my example of not indulging in the normal kind of aspects of skate culture, I hope to inspire people by showing like, oh, you can skate and not smoke and not drink. And, you know, you can skate and meditate. You know, that was, that's one of the big kind of things we've been calling it, skate and meditate, just flows so nicely. So yeah, what I found and what Kaylee was touching on earlier is that if you just do what you do and do it for, you know, because you love it and it comes naturally, then people will be inspired just by seeing that. And I've never been one to be very preachy and, you know, very blunt. I've always been kind of a, you know, I just hope to live by example. And I hope that by doing that, by just doing something I love and showing that you can do it simultaneously with your spiritual values, that that can inspire some people. And it's shown to prove quite true. You know, people often, you know, I like have little things, like I wear neck beads, you know, I wear like Haribol shirts and like mantras. And so it's like, you can tell that I'm a little different when I'm at the skate park. Like this guy's like, you know, and even I'm sure people have had, you know, people approach them that are devotees and say like, you know, what, you got something special about you. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's just what happens when you spend so much of your life meditating and living in with such high values that it, you know, we become very effulgent and distinct. So in little ways, I try to separate myself, but not separate myself too much where I'm like, you know, I go to the skate park like in full robes and shaved head and, you know, maybe for fun. But yeah, I like that idea of, I guess you could call it bridge, you know, like bridge preaching or whoever you want to call the term. Well, just so it's,
I think
yeah,
just
go ahead.
Just the beauty of we share automatically what we're cultivating. If we're cultivating something genuine and unique and it's actually precious to us, like the power of living a life of values, the power of creating a life that I'm surrounding myself with values that are uplifting, that's automatically going to pour out for other people and other people experience that, like you're saying. So just the, I appreciate both these ideas of, you know, saturating the world, right? In all the fields and all the areas with people that live by values, right? Because values can apply cross-culturally, cross-situationally, like in any situation, one can pretty much uphold values. And that's what value means, right? It's like this, the ability to hold on to something even when forces are pulling against it or pulling away from it or trying to dismantle it, right? That's the true strength of values is I'm going to hold this in integrity no matter what I'm doing. So that's wonderful.
Yeah. It's really, when it works, you know, it's really nice to be able to just be strong. And I haven't actually had any problems with, you know, feeling like too influenced into the skate culture, which is good. You know, it's because it definitely, there's a point where you can become so associated with a certain culture that you get a little too much into it and then pulling away from my spiritual life. But so far I've managed to have a pretty good balance, I would say. And I usually skate alone. That I think that's a big thing because association is so influential in one's life that if I could see if I started skating with a bunch of people who didn't have spiritual values or practice meditation, that it could be easy to get swayed. But because I just don't know of any other skate monks out there, really, I've been trying to find them. But, you know, it's easy then just to go alone and not, you know, it's fun. You just do your thing. And, you know, I make a little videos just for fun. And it also helps. It's a big creative outlet for me because I've been really appreciating skating as a way to express my creative energy by making videos and skating itself also. And that's my main form of expression of my creative energy that otherwise, you know, gets redirected. And so, yeah, I would say the main thing is just trying to not get too pulled into the culture of skating and remember why I'm here. Like I go to the skate park and I remind myself, that's you know, okay, I'm getting my ability from a higher source. I'm not the one here, because with skating and anything, it's so easy to get kind of proud, you know. Ooh, I'm doing a cool trick. Ooh, look at me. Everyone saw that, you know. But and I actually remind myself in the Bhagavad Gita. I'm not a pundit, a scholar, so I don't know the exact, I want to say it's in the 9th chapter, but Krishna is saying that the last line of this verse, he says, I am the ability in man, Paurusham Nishu. So I often just say that Sanskrit, and I try to remind myself, okay, you know, Krishna, the divine, is the ability in me. So like, I'm trying to like, please help me remember this so I don't get too kind of puffed up.
Someone was telling me yesterday, you know, the philosopher Nietzsche, he's famously quoted for saying God is dead, you know, but apparently he also said, however, I would believe in a God that dances. And I just thought, like, imagine how many people there are out there that would believe in a God that skates. And so that's it's quite a profound thing to say, like, God, you know, like, God is the ability in me skating. Like, God is skating vicariously through me. That's pretty gnarly. And David Madhava actually asked, how did you meet the monks? So I'd like to hear about that. And one thing that you could go on to that I'd find really interesting is you said how when you were a monk, you kind of stopped skating, but then the desire was still there. So you took it up, like, after you left the ashram. And that's something kind of that happened to me as well. I was like burnt out with music, so I abandoned it all and completely rejected it. But after a while, it started to creep back again, and I had to find a way to, you know, create a synergy between spiritual life and creative life. So when you met the monks, first off, how did you meet the monks? And when you did meet the monks, what changed in you that kind of allowed you to maybe put your like skating or creative endeavors aside? And then what happened to, like, you know, how did you end up experiencing this reawakening of the desire and trying to like find that synthesis between the two? I'd really love to hear those two things.
Yeah, absolutely. So I met the monks in Denver. Like I said, I was going to University of Denver there, and after my freshman year, which you know, I was just kind of doing the freshman thing, and quickly realized that's not really what I want. After freshman year, coming into my sophomore year, my brother and I started meditating and reading all kinds of spiritual books. And so I was really seeking. I was seeking some association and trying to find a path. And one day I was just walking down the hallway going to class, and there's, you know, like a big brochure kind of cabinet. And one of them said religious groups on campus. And I was like, I don't really like how that sounds, but I'll check it out anyway. So I looked through, and, you know, it's like a lot of like Christian, Christian, Christian. And I'm like, it's like, okay. And then I see one that says Bhakti Yoga Club. And I'm like, okay, now we're talking. And I didn't know what Bhakti meant. I guess I thought yoga, you know, was just stretching or something. But I was like, that sounds pretty cool, you know, Eastern, that kind of Eastern vibe. So there was an email on there. So I emailed. And this was Vinod Kovida Prabhu, who he basically introduced me to Bhakti. And I emailed him, and this was actually, he replied and said, like, wow, you're the first person to contact me. I haven't even started this club yet. Like, this is the first semester they were starting it, and I already reached out. So I met him at the club fair, and he had a big old bucket of chocolate chip zucchini bread. Oh, man. That's what got me. Wow. I took a bite of that and my material life was over.
Instantly love of God.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah, I just met with him and then started going to the club and got hooked, started coming to the temple regularly, and you know, he really put a lot of love and attention on like really cultivating me and helping me, and we would chant together and read together. And so once I actually came into the ashram, I joined the ashram, to your point, Kaylee, I think that it was natural that my kind of detachment for skating came, because I was simultaneously experiencing so much more pleasure and satisfaction in my life from all of this association and chanting and dancing and feasting. I mean, it's such a joyous life that beforehand, my whole life was skateboarding, which at the time seemed pretty fun. But then once you get, you know, the higher taste, we like to say, I got the higher taste of bhakti, and it was like, wow, I didn't even think about skating anymore. You know, we're just dancing and feasting and, you know, having a good time. So it's like, I don't even think about going to skate anymore. Mm. And so I think it came naturally like that. And then, so then when I left the ashram, it's not that I, you know, I just stopped doing all the joyful things, but.
Where did the taste go?
I know, that could have been part
of
it.
Oh no, the taste is gone. I better do skating again.
Yeah, but a big part of my goal of leaving the ashram, and you know, it's kind of like a time to find yourself and find your individual place. You know, we're all like individual notes in the song of life or something like that. So I wanted to find my own individuality and creativity and way to express that to Krishna, to the divine, because we all have, you know, a very unique relationship with the divine that no one else has. And I wanted to, I was like, all right, I guess mine is skating in this life. Cause other than that, I don't really have any, you know, very unique things, to my life. So I just tried, I was like, well, let me just try to do it. And, it's not easy, you know, because things like, say you play guitar, it seems very easy to just go into a kirtan and just start playing along. But with skating, it's like, it just doesn't quite make sense. Like, how do I do that for Krishna? How do I do that as an offering? Just because it seems so foreign. Like, you know, for me, it's like, okay, we got skating, we got spirituality, like trying to figure out how to bridge the gap. And it was, yeah, it's still not easy, but I feel like I've got a good flow to it. And it really is a balance because, as you know, it's quite intensive on the body. Even if you're just doing it kind of low key, which is what I try to do, you basically, you know, in different hobbies or activities or sports, you kind of know your safety limit. You know, like if you're going to do something and there's that little like flash in your mind, like you shouldn't do this, you might get hurt. I try to stay away from that because I want to keep doing it. And one thing that has always stuck in my mind that my brother and I, we actually, when we were in, he also went to school in Colorado. So we would skate and meet up. And there was actually a skate church in Colorado Springs. It was really cool. So this like pastor had a skate church. He like had dreadlocks and it was really cool. So you could come in and skate, but only in order to skate, you had to sit through like a sermon.
Wow.
And it was like this guy, yeah, he was
what
super
a
cool.
Transcendental trick.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of, you know, skater bros.
Was it a really sick skate park?
Yeah, it was super cool.
So
it was like well worth
incentive.
Yeah, it was well worth it. It was huge. Wow. Indoor skate park too. So if it was snowing or cold or raining, it was like the only spot to be. So this guy had a good idea. So we went, and one point that always stuck in my mind is that, and on this point of, you know, Limit to Love, that beautiful song that you sung for us, is that with skating there's, you know, there's literally a limit because you could be all in and then, you know, you roll your ankle and then you're done for however long it takes to heal. And, you know, I've rolled my ankle so many times and I keep going, but you could even, you know, get a very severe injury and be done for life. But the thing with spirituality and your relationship with Krishna, with the divine, is that there is no limit. You can just fully put all of your effort into it. You know, like in the Gita, there's, I think it's 240. There, in this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution. So it's like, you know, this is a permanent bank account that we can put into, but skating, as fun as it is, you can't put everything into it because you never know what's going to happen because it's so dangerous. So just some thoughts.
You had said something earlier about, I'm kind of backtracking a little bit, this idea of a creative outlet, right? And how I've observed, and in my own experience, when that, so presupposing that all living entities have some creative energy, have some desire to be creative. Some people are like, they may say, well, I'm not an artist or a writer or a musician or a, you know, whatever. But I think this is a beautiful example. Not only is like skating a form of art, a form of improvisation, right? You're improvising as you're moving through the terrain, as you're moving through the area, you're improvising with tricks. It's, you know, there's so much balance and physicality and even just kind of mentally a lot's going on. And a lot of creative energy needs to get put into that, right? We have M on here. She's watching. And they're saying about, I've had a question about skiing for 30 years. So they're into skiing, right? So there's, in really everything that we do, the point I'm making is that we all have a need to express some creative energy, right? We have it. That's, you know, so it has to go somewhere, right? And when it doesn't go anywhere, right? Like you said, then it generally goes towards more destructive things, right? It goes towards things that erode my character rather than uplift my character. And I've seen also with individuals when they have that method in place for them to be able to express that creative energy, then a lot of the other things, and it's not overdoing it, like you said, like with skating, it's like you could just kind of lose your mind and become absorbed or like obsessed with something.
Right.
And I think with creative energy in general, right, that's what can happen. That's a possibility. But when there's a healthy and wholesome relationship with expressing the creative energy and being able then to connect it with values and kind of protect it with our values, so to speak, it allows everything else internally to flow much more organically, naturally, and in a healthy way. Right. I become much stronger in my spiritual connection and kind of like the centerpiece of my life. I become much stronger in my relationships. I become stronger in my confidence in dealing with other people when I feel like I'm on my game, you know?
That's a really nice point. Yeah, because the creative energy is there. Even if you don't know it, like you said, some people say, well, I'm not really that creative, or I'm not an artist. But everyone has something that has been naturally gifted to them. You know, everyone has a superpower, so to speak. And it might not be so obvious, but if that isn't expressed into the world, then it's just going to stagnate. And it's going to kind of just like come out in a different way that you might not want it to, like in a potentially degrading way. So that's what I found. And even with skating or whatever you're interested in, whether it's sports or, you know, some kind of creative form, is that even just having some healthy recreation, you know, especially that is physical. And that's why I like skating too, because it's actually good exercise, you know. It's like a leg workout. You're constantly like squatting basically just all the time. And so just having that healthy form of recreation, really, I've noticed for my mind, my own mind, is really helpful just to keep everything else, like you said, kind of in flow. It's like one big machine, and this is just part of it. You got to have, you know, the healthy lifestyle, which is recreation is a part of. And I've just really appreciated that, because it's easy to be kind of, you know, fanatical with spirituality. And it's like, oh, well, someone that's spiritual, they don't skate. Like, that's not spiritual, or whatever it is, you know, insert your kind of desired hobby. Even if I wasn't doing like skate monk stuff, even just going and skating for a little bit, I think even that is helpful. But I'm still trying to add a little, you know, a little cherry on top.
can I try and can I tickle you to speak about
Kelly's good at tickles, watch out.
I'm actually I shouldn't dish out the tickles too much, because I'm extremely ticklish in return. But I wanted to try and get you to speak about like the zen of skateboarding, riding your way into enlightenment. What can you kind of get?
It sounds like,
you know,
the name of a book
that
skate monk's gonna write someday.
What like principles or realizations can you draw between like skating and spirituality? Like I mentioned one about falling down, getting back up, but I can think of many, like staying balanced and you know, like the determination, also like how meticulous you have to be with like your tricks and landing tricks and so many things, like not pushing yourself too much, like not taking too many risks. Also, if you are going to take a risk, maybe like putting faith in a higher power. Or have there been any like similarities you can draw, like life lessons almost from skating, things that could be like applicable to your soul and not just your skating career?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you both touched on really good points already. And I would say the main one that comes to mind is determination. And I say that one first because that is what has had the most profound impact on my own character. And I really think because I've been skating for so long, and determination in skating, I think it's really just become part of my character. And I'm really grateful for that because, yeah, I would be, you know, 10-year-old skate monk, or I guess, I don't know what I was called then.
Skate punk.
Skate punk. There you go. So 10-year-old skate punk, you know, like in the parking lot, just trying to learn how to ollie, which is, you know, just like the basic jumping trick for those non-skater lingos out there. And, you know, I'd just be trying to learn how to do that for like over and over and over and over. And just having the determination to do that and to keep going forward is so vital in skateboarding and in life, because we need determination to do what we want. You know, life isn't easy. And if you just give up after your first attempt of trying to ollie, then what, you know, good luck trying to ollie, you know. That's and through that very determined practice of skating, and it comes through every time I skate, because, you know, my mind thinks of something I want to learn, a trick I want to learn, and then I just try it over and over. And the determination, I find it carries over into my life, the rest of my life also. And I think that's really helpful, because you see that people that aren't determined, it's, you know, it's hard to achieve your goals. So I really appreciate determination from skateboarding in particular.
Can I just ask, like, before you go on to something else?
Yeah.
Would I be right to assume that that determination comes from seeing someone else achieve a similar goal or a similar trick? Like, you see someone else ollie, so you think, well, I'm a human being, surely I have the ability to ollie. Like, we see someone excelling at spiritual life. Would that help us develop the determination to believe in ourselves that, you know, with practice we will gradually reach you know a stage like that?
I would say it depends on the person, because, you know, you could have one person, or you could have two people learning the same trick, but one of them's doing it so that they can get all kind of glorification and, you know, like, wow, that was so cool. And another person could be doing it just for their own kind of self-satisfaction, because it's like, there's nothing as sad, like, unless you skate, you really, I don't know if you can quite understand the satisfaction you get from learning a trick that you've been trying to do for so long. And it's so amazing. And I think, like you said, it's almost like a self-confidence boost, because it's like, here's my goal, and, you know, here's my effort, and I made it happen. But then, like I said, it's easy to get proud, and there's so many other factors too. But yeah, just really having the determination to stick to your goals has been super helpful. And I would say the other one is patience, because patience, you know, in the midst of that determination, you need patience. Because I actually, like I alluded to earlier, I had all kind of tantrums when I was starting to learn how to skate. You know, I was a little skate punk, just throwing my board down and kicking around. And my mom would actually come out and she would say, like, all right, do 50 more ollies. Like, and so, yeah, just having the patience to realize that, you know, I can only do my part. I can put in as much as I can. And then there's another factor of just realizing that, you know, my life is in divine hands. That's not what I was thinking as a skate punk, but that's my kind of purport
this
on
is
it.
This is the meditation as a skate monk.
Yeah, this is the
my tricks are in divine hands.
Commentary by skate monk. So yeah, and it's funny that I already said determination and patience, and the third I was thinking would be enthusiasm. And these three principles are, as you guys might know, hot seat.
Utsaha nishchaya, some
Yeah.
Sanskrit.
Whoa.
So yeah,
So.
it well it's I think you're really pointing to the and the fact that you kind of went down that road, that it was like those three qualities that you kind of brought out, right? It does really point to how these whatever we want, what is it that we actually want? We have to, there are certain like universal principles to go after, right? So then if I have a certain psychophysical nature, right, about what I like to do in this world, right? Let me, like what is that psychophysical nature generally for, if not to teach me like the things that I need to do to attain something that I want, right? Like I like music. So what do I need to do to like become good at music? Patience, determination, and enthusiasm, right? And other things, right? But I have to kind of cultivate that on something that I'm kind of already psychophysically attracted to, right? Then what to speak of kind of this metaphysical divine aspiration, this transcendent goal, this transcendent value, right? Then we've already had the practice of patience, determination, enthusiasm, right? And so on and so forth. And like Kaylee also brought up this idea of mentors, like really being able to see someone else do it, right? Like you saw someone skate, so you're like, oh man, that'd be super dope. I want to be able to do that. So then there you are in the parking lot working on ollies for 3 hours, right? And another thing that was coming up for me is I have this impression because I don't skate. I would like longboard around when I was in college, and that was, I was really into that. But I've always had this impression of skating. It's your because, like you said, there's like the ollie, which is kind of the foundational. You get the board in the air, right? And there's certain things that you do with your feet to make that happen. And then it's like slight touches of the foot to, between a kick flip and a pop shove it or whatever it is. I don't really know the terms, right? But it's kind of this like, maybe it's for Kelly's laughing at me. Maybe it's maybe it.
I was just like, don't lie, Ananda. Come on. I know you know your
Well,
I know you know your
basically from like Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I mean, that's
Yeah, I mean those are real tricks, so
those are real tricks. So, but it's almost like you don't really see it. This is my impression. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong. You don't really see that, like, because sometimes the board's moving so fast, you're like, did it spin 4 times or like 3 times or whatever? Right? You don't necessarily see it, but there's something in you that like knows it, right? And it's almost like you see it in your mind. You know that like that's what happened because that's kind of what you were practicing towards. If that makes sense. Does that kind of train? It's like a train. I haven't landed, but does that make sense a little bit?
Totally. Yeah, I would say I'll kind of translate it into like my skating perception of that. I would say, yeah, a lot of it is like skating for me is like a flow state. If you can ever get into an activity where it's like a flow state or a flow activity, it's not much. That's true, Dave. Yeah, so when I'm skating, I don't actually think like not much is going on up here. It's like there's so much muscle memory and practice and kind of finesse, like you were saying, with the small little graceful movements. I'm not actually thinking about what I'm going to do. And I think that's the most fun part of it. And that's what I really appreciate about certain skaters is that you can tell that they're totally spontaneous. And it's like an expression of their spontaneous creativity that they're just like, it's almost kind of like, I just surrender to like whatever is going to happen. And then there's this kind of like almost physical looseness that you can see in someone where, have you ever seen someone that kind of looks like they're just like floating or like dancing around? And you're like, I want to be like that. So I see people that skate like that. just so in such a flow state. And it's really amazing because, and I've talked to many skaters about this, that skating is a meditation for most people. And it's actually what helps them, you know, when they're stressed out or when they have too much to deal with in their life. You just pick up your board and go skate. And it's not really that you forget about it, but it's just that it helps you to process it almost in a subtle way. Because now I'm fully engaging all of my senses. Well, maybe not my tongue. I'm not really, but you know, most of my, actually, I do stick my tongue out sometimes when I skate. I've seen it in slow-mos. But it's so absorbing that it's such, like, you can't help but be, you know, fixed. And that's the idea of meditation, is to be fixed. You know, you put your mind on something. So that's what I really like about it.
The question that some people might ask is like, so why isn't like sadhana bhakti enough then, you know, in terms of like finding a flow, getting absorbed, losing your mind, you know, like one fear perhaps people have when it comes to taking up a spiritual practice is like losing themselves, like losing their identity, losing their personality, you know. This example keeps coming up for me over the past few days about like, I mean, I'm going to make a music example. Oh, there we go.
Wow.
God is definitely real. this example is coming up for me. How, like someone asked me yesterday, how do you make yourself an instrument for God, for divinity? And I thought, well, making yourself an instrument isn't so difficult. But like staying in tune, that's like the hard part. Like someone can hand you an instrument, or you can carve an instrument or buy an instrument, whatever. That's fine. You can even learn some songs, but after you play a few songs, your guitar, your ukulele, your piano, whatever it is, it will get out of tune. And there's this practice of like constantly retuning, readjusting, you know? So for me, I see like the spiritual process, or the process to provide a catalyst towards spiritual lifestyle is there. It's very simple, like chant Hare Krishna, you know, read the right books, associate with the right people, so on and so on. That's like the instrument that's there to make you an instrument. But then staying in tune is another thing. So similarly, I suppose you've experienced like getting rusty, perhaps, like not skating for a while and like getting rusty, and then maybe that flow is lost a little bit, you know. So I don't know if you've had that experience of like, you know, perhaps not feeling in tune some days, or, you know, not feeling like loosey-goosey some days, but maybe doing it anyway, or maybe realizing that, yeah, I do need to do this every day in order to stay, you know, in order to access that flow state kind of more easily. Is that something you've experienced, and does that relate to spiritual life as well, would you say?
Definitely. Yeah, the thing with skating is that since it's so physically demanding, I try not to do it every day in light of trying to create a sustainable approach. I probably skate maybe anywhere between 2 and 4 times a week. Because if I notice, I mean, I'm pretty young, and even if I skate every day for a few days in a row, it's like, whew, like this is really, I'm starting to feel it. And, but there's definitely times when I go to the skate park and I'm just like not feeling it, you know, just like there's no flow going on. And even mentally, there, I can tell when I'm really kind of focused on like how I look, or, you know, and some days I just go because I just want to skate and it's fun and I couldn't care less about what people think. And that's the hard part of using social media to highlight this. You know, I'm doing the Skate Monk thing, but because of that, I'm also getting a lot of recognition. And, you know, the false ego will grab any little, you know, thing it can get and kind of make it a whole big deal. So I think it's quite the art, but like you said, being the instrument is such a helpful reminder. And I was thinking too, how, you know, when someone's playing an instrument, it's the person that's playing it that gets the recognition, not the instrument. Mm. It's not like, wow, like you played your song. It's like, wow, that was a great ukulele. Like what do you mean? So like the same thing with the skateboard. It's not like I do a cool trick and someone's like that was a really cool skateboard. You know, like your skateboard's really cool, you know. It's like, no, it's the person behind it. Mm. So in the same way, you know, we are instruments, we're divine instruments, we're instruments of God. So I'm hoping to, you know, like show my abilities in light of glorifying and recognizing the supreme person. And also on a side note, I just thinking about, you're talking about a God who skates. My brother and I used to like, we would like almost visualize like, what if Krishna skated? Like how cool that would be.
I was thinking, I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking very much along the same lines that the act of being an instrument is an actively passive activity in many ways, right? The ukulele just has to resonate. Mm. The ukulele just has to, like, you know, not break, right? It just doesn't have to resist Kaylee's desire to play it. The skateboard just, it has to roll, not obstruct your desire to skate on it, right? So, and it's not a passivity in the sense of we don't have responsibility, right? Because we're also conscious, right? But this, it's more of this act. That's why I say active passivity, where I'm letting go of my resistance, right? And I'm allowing something to come through me. And I think that's the biggest thing for me is like, where am I being resistant? Where am I obstructing the flow, the inspiration, literally, from entering my life?
Yeah, absolutely,
man. I just wasn't expecting like the Skate Don't Hate podcast to be so profoundly enlightening.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, and just on, I think Kaylee, you were just saying about just this idea of being spiritual but also being an individual, because I've noticed too, a lot of people do have that concern that, you know, you're just gonna get sucked into a cult and lose any individuality. And so I find that I'm actually most inspired by spiritual people, you know, yogis, spiritual practitioners that really have their own creative twist on it. You know, like they really stick to their, you know, God-given gifts and they use that, but they're also very, you know, dedicated to their path. And I find that so inspiring that I think that's a big reason why I'm trying to do what I'm doing is because, you know, no one likes a fanatic, like in spirituality or in, you know, the material kind of realm of things. Yeah. Fanatics are just hard to deal with. So I just like really want to be like a cool guy. But then I also like, oh yeah, and also bhakti, you know, also Krishna. I'm not like to minimize it, but just to say that like, you can be both. You don't have to be one or the other.
I think that's a great point about fanaticism because, you know, like you said, it can be one way that people are scared to lose their identity or, you know, perhaps they'll get rejected by their group for joining a spiritual tradition, you know. But also when you're in a spiritual tradition and you try and step outside and do something else, you can experience the same thing. Oh, you're in Maya, bro. Or, you know, like, what are you doing trying to, like, you know, be an individual kind of thing? So it's very interesting how this fanaticism can arise in, you know, both all aspects of life, really, you know?
Yeah.
But that's like a huge point, I think, that I've got from this conversation. I'm so grateful.
Well, that no one likes a fanatic?
Well, no one likes a fanatic, definitely. But to a point you have to be like sincere and dedicated and you like definitely like this idea of finding a balance, you know, is something that I feel be prominent, you know, in points we're trying to make, because you know, like you were saying, if you were just skating every day, like you'd burn out, you know.
Mm.
And like the spiritual life, it can be so demanding for some people. It's a very rare small percentage of people that can dedicate their life to, you know, every second, you know, to spiritual practice. Mm. Like very strict spiritual practice. Mm. So if you're not ready, if you're not kind of at that stage existentially, you will burn out as well.
Mm.
So I think that could be the trouble with like fanaticism. You can be a fanatic in skateboarding or a fanatical spiritualist, but you know, there's opportunities to burn out or to succeed in either. So finding that balance, I think, is really interesting. And I'm very grateful to you for showing how it can be done in a practical way. And I really would love to encourage anyone in whatever field, like whatever God-given gift you have, to try and find that balance and help others to find it as well. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, integration is key. Being able to integrate all the things and recognize in many ways the non-separation of them. Right, seeing how they're overlapping and connecting and can be utilized, and why it's in my life. Why is this in my life?
Yeah, because having that balance, it's actually harder, I would say. Like being a fanatic is easier because it's, you know, you can just fully go one way or fully go the other way. But to stay right in the middle, or at least try to, with constant adjustments, it's actually quite difficult. So that's why I so much appreciate people that do that and that show that it's possible. Because, you know, especially in this whole skate monk endeavor, I've just been reminding myself that I can't please everyone. And, you know, because inevitably, like you said, someone's going to be like, oh, Prabhu, you're in Maya, or vice versa. But I want to get to a point where I can at least please as the most people I can, both, you know, spiritual practitioners and non, so that whatever I'm doing, like even my family has been like really happy that I'm skating again. It's like, oh, that's so cool, you know? So it's like on both sides, the devotees, you know, spiritual practitioners, they appreciate what I'm doing, just like I appreciate what you guys are doing, you know, using your musical endeavors and all of Bodhika. And then also even people that don't practice, they appreciate it just because it's, you know, like, oh, here's someone that has something that they love and they're doing it. So I really try to go to the skate park and wherever I go with a skateboard, thinking that like, okay, I am a representative of Bhakti and of Srila Prabhupada, who founded this movement. And it's actually quite, it's like humbling, and I feel very like honored, like, wow, I get to, you know, spread my little dose of Bhakti to whoever, whatever little souls I might find here at the skate park. And I don't think there's been many, you know, many Bhakti books, many, you know, devotees going throughout skate parks. So I think it's actually a really prime opportunity to kind of do my part.
Awesome. What's, and so the best way is kind of to find you on Instagram and Facebook, just at Skate Monk or at The Skate Monk.
Yeah. So yeah, mainly Instagram at The Skate Monk, one word, all lowercase. And that's my kind of my main platform. I also share them to Facebook, just on my personal page. So that's Uddhava Sandesh Das. You can follow me there. But yeah, I would say Instagram is kind of my main platform.
Do you have a vision for this skate monk thing? Like, because I know you do other, you do some other stuff as well. Like you've been making those hilarious montages of Raghunath, and you know, I've seen you, like, there's also this devotee who goes by the name of Swasti, French devotee who does like BMXing and stuff. He's really, really cool guy. I've connected with him a bit. So, you know, I can see all these different people, like, that are just like they really own their niche, you know. Like, I'm just wondering, like, I think what you're doing now is incredible, but I'm wondering, do you have a vision for Skate Monk? Is this going to be something that you're going to, like, you know, really, really dive into? Or is it just like a passing kind of fad, and like a, just a, something that you're happy to identify with? Or just in light of other people that might be skiing or into economics or whatever, finding their niche.
Totally.
Is there like a vision you have, and how might you develop that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah, so Swasti. Yeah, if anyone, like, that's all these cool, like, Haribol kind of like shirts and stuff. Yeah, so this devotee named Joris, Joris, is, yeah, originally from France. He's living in the United States now. But he is actually a pro BMX biker, and he is really amazing and super just dedicated. And he actually reached out a few months ago when I was starting the whole Skate Monk thing, and he basically wanted me to join the Swasti team, which his vision is pretty much what you're saying, is like he wants to take specifically devotees that are practicing bhakti and have a unique talent. It's not limited to like extreme sports. So like right now there's myself, Joris, who bikes, there's another biker named Alex, there's a dancer, there's all kind of different just talents, and like you said, different niches. And I think his vision might be even broader than mine right now. I would say the Skate Monk thing is kind of just for my own kind of creativity and just fun. But yeah, I'm really inspired by Joris because he is trying to do that. You know, he's trying to really take devotees from all around the world with unique talents and kind of highlight them together. And I mean, we were even talking together about, like, you know, building a skate park in Mayapur and like having a whole, cause, I mean, there's a lot of potential, but it's kind of at the point of lots of opportunity, and we're just kind of needing to really explore more. But I think there is a lot of, I was even thinking about making Skate Monk a brand and like trying to promote, because I know there's a lot of overlap in the different cultures and like that. So I don't have so much of a grand plan yet. I'm just kind of enjoying it, but especially working with Joris and Swasti. If anyone wants to find him on Instagram, maybe you can put it in the chat. It's at Swasti, but there's three S's.
So Swassti.
Exactly.
And yeah, he makes incredible like clothes and stuff. You can buy his clothes.
He is like, speaking of creativity, you should look at his page because he is a genius. Like he somehow makes bhakti combine with every like pop, you know, brand. Like this is a Thrasher. This is like the logo for Thrasher Skate Magazine.
Horrible, that polo, he did that polo one, but it was like Bolo. That was Bolo. Insane.
Yeah. So check him out. Give him some love. He's super inspiring. And he's kind of helping me to help my mission go as well. So stay tuned from him, and there could be some more Skate Monk plans in the future, but not planning to quit anytime soon.
Great. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
So nice to see you and reconnect. I'm looking forward to the next time. This whole time I've been thinking about that. We had one of the it was probably the end of summer this last year. We went out to get ice cream, and we found that cool little alleyway with the bench, and we were eating ice cream, catching up. And I was just reminiscing it today during this podcast. So looking forward to the next time we can share some ice cream together.
Absolutely.
Can I come?
Yes, please.
definitely.
Kelly's also coming.
Well, first off, thank you. And it's just so nice to meet you. It's been long overdue.
Yeah.
I really, 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 really want to encourage you to like just completely own the Skate Monk thing. You know, just like I just want to see that blow up because, you know, we're trying to represent the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And when I hear that word, or when I hear those words put together, I see in my mind's eye, I see like a big group of people walking down the street, and they're all holding hands. And the people that are holding hands, you have a skater, you have a swami, you have a mother, you have, you know, an ecologist, you have a musician, you have, you know, a dark person, a light person, or whatever, you know, everyone's holding hands. And like, that's a huge desire. What I take platform does is like just like create a sense, you know, and I think you're doing that really well. So I'm really grateful that you've taking the time to like chat with us today and share some
thank thoughts. You so much. Yeah, and that's why Bhakti is so appealing, because there's, you know, there's no discrimination. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do, just, you know, do it for the divine. So I share that vision. And
except heroin.
Yeah, it feels...
No heroin.
except a few things, but you know.
There are a few things.
Well, and that's the vision, really, just to plug Bodhika and express gratitude for Bodhika really creating this platform, and we want to expand this platform. So please, if you're watching now, like and share. And really, we want to expand more than just the philosophy, which is profound. When you look at the Vedic culture and kind of the ancient yogic culture, the philosophy is profound. But more than the philosophy is the experience of bhakti and being able to share the genuine and authentic expressions of our experience as people who have taken the principles and precepts of bhakti into our life. So we're very grateful to them. We're very grateful to you, Skate Monk. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Kelly, for sharing a wonderful song. We'll be with you next Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern time with another very special guest. I was doing some brainstorming with our friend Deva, and we got a roster that's going to blow your mind. Kelly and I are going to be releasing a song here soon. Kelly's going to be releasing a few songs, but Kelly and I are going to be releasing a song here soon. And I'm saying this publicly so that he'll send it to me so we can, so we can release it. But, so a lot of really wonderful things coming up. So, do stay tuned. Kelly, any last words?
I just want to thank everyone for watching and giving us your time and your attention, and come back next week. Like this take note thing is just an embryo, a seedling, a toddler, and all at once somehow. And there's pretty
multiple species. tree species, mammal species.
But yeah, we're really trying to create like a little family here, and yes, and stay with us, you know, come join us next week and stay with us. This is just the beginning, and what a good beginning. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Adios. Hare Krishna.